I'm glad you're here because God says that where the local church is gathered together, the Lord is in the midst. He also speaks of the angel of the church, which is the messenger that has the message of God from the Word of God, that angel of the church is in the right hand of Jesus Christ. And tonight I'm thinking about and impressed with one verse from the Bible. And this verse is a verse that I was challenged with when I was in Bible college, Baptist Bible College. I was challenged by my best friend at that time and in a member of this church later on. The church hadn't been planted yet, and he became the first pastor of the church. And he could see I was distracted as a single man thinking about marriage and girl and all of that. And he wanted me to focus and felt a burden to get me to focus. And he shared with me Matthew 6:33, and that's the verse tonight I want to give to you. And it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." That's what the Bible says. So tonight, as you're thinking about this new year and all the things that you want to get done in the months that you have, 12 months, the weeks that you have, 52 weeks, the days that you have, 365 days, I believe that the message tonight from the Word of God for you is you need to focus on your priorities. And you need to focus on what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. And, recently, just this week, the oldest person in the world that lived here for longer than anybody else, as recognized by Guinness World Records, was a French lady, a nun named Sister Andre, and she just died in her sleep at 118 years old. She was born on February 1st, 1904, and the oldest living person before her was Kane Tanaka. Kane Tanaka was a man from Japan. And he lived until he was, and I remember when he died just not too long ago, 119 years of age. But the oldest person, just a few years before that Guinness had, was another French lady, and got to find out what they're eating over there in France. Another French lady, Jean Calme, spelled C-A-L-M-E-N-T, Calme, she lived to be 122 years young. Amen. Now, we have just entered a new year, 2024. And I called my mom yesterday to tell her hi and to wish her a blessed new year. If my mom lives till this July 20th, she will turn 94. She told me that she went to a restaurant over the holiday and she gave the gospel to a lady, sought to lead her to the Lord. I was happy to hear that. As we've entered another year this past Monday, I really feel impressed on this first prayer meeting to give you what I believe should be our keynote for the year. I believe it should be your keynote for your life. I don't care if you're a teenager, a child, an adult, a man, a woman. This is your message. And the name of the message tonight, as you can see it on the screen, we're getting that fixed, we ordered it today, is First Things First. Let me say that again to you tonight because you might not get it. First Things First. First things first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I got up today and my computer was driving me crazy. I started screaming and hollering, pounding my desk. I was so mad at that computer. You can't believe it. I was working, doing work, laboring in the doctrine, writing, had all this done, and my computer was going nuts. I mean, it was doing things, it was like it was devil-possessed. It was terrible. And I lost everything. I couldn't get it back, I thought. My wife prayed for me. She said, calm down, I'm praying for you. And sure enough, God answered her prayer later. Once I calmed down, said I was sorry for being such a brat. But I found out the local company was having repairs done. It was causing these crazy things to happen. Then I lost something else I was supposed to get. And I kind of got the idea that all these things that we worry about and fuss about, and sometimes they're small things, but they bother us, are things that God wants us to realize. As long as you're in this world, you're going to have tribulation. And that's mild stuff, but it's real. And you commit it to the Lord. And concentrate on the main thing that He wants you to seek. And if He gives you another year, you can't count on another year. Boast not thyself of what? Another day. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth. These globalists that have all their plans and all their concoctions, there's more power in our prayers than their plans and their evil schemes. And Satan is a schemer, isn't he? But you cannot boast yourself of tomorrow, because God is sovereign over your life. And He gives you your breath. He can give, He can take away. And this year is no different than last year in that respect. But He will test your faith and get you to depend on Him. And you'll be good if you depend on Him. But when you do that, He wants you to know, beloved, that first things must be first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, the Bible says that. And I just... after New Year, right after the watch night, I was watching a guy, I think he was on YouTube, and he is a soul winner. And this guy lives in California, but I believe he's from Australia. And he was giving illustrations of people that he was winning souls to. It was so neat to hear him confront people with the gospel and out there in California. And the thing that challenged me, that he said, he just hit me. He said, people have all these things that they do. He said, I'm getting up in years now. But he said, you know what I do in California? He said, 7 days a week, twice every day, I go out and have times to go soul winning. Good, 7 days a week, twice every day. And this guy is making an impact for God. And he said that that's what he does, and that really challenged me right at the beginning of the new year. Wait a minute. Get your priorities in order. And I believe tonight God wants me to tell you that. Get your priorities in order. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, Christians have a lot of things to do. Baptists have a lot of things to do. One of the things they do is eat and eat and eat and eat. Brother Joe has all the hours figured out in a week. How many hours sleeping, how many hours eating, and all that. But listen, the main thing that God wants you to do is to give the gospel to people. You don't need to be here if you're not going to give the gospel to people. And yet people run around like those stupid mice in a Ferris wheel there in the cage. Every year they do the same thing. They never break out of barrenness. Because it's the tyranny of the urgent, or doing this thing that and I'm not saying it's wrong to have fun, to have family times and all that. I had all of that. But God reminded me. You seek first the kingdom of God, because people are dying and they're going to hell. And you are the only ones that are to warn them. and their blood is on your hands. If you don't do it, I remember Kyle Donovan, when his friend, and we heard about him, he tried to save some kids out of a house, and he was depressed that he couldn't save these kids out of a fire. And we went over and gave the gospel, and that's what we need to be doing. So many times we've had kids in our church that have been murdered. Murdered kids. I'm thinking of a home right up there in Southside. I knew the lady. I worked with her, and we brought the kids in our bus ministry back in the day in Southside, back in about 1990 to 93, right in there. And a guy got into that house and murdered those kids. Tied up the mother and murdered her kids. And these were kids that came to our church, kids that we were so witnessing to. And there's so many other stories like that. And so that's our calling from God. And he says, you need to be doing that. You need to be seeking first the kingdom of God. And when we think about this world, we think about your reading in Genesis, and think about the pre-flood fathers that lived back in Genesis, way back at the beginning, in the first 1,600 years of this world. And they were living 900 plus years old on average. And one of these fathers, by the name of Lamech, he had a son, and he said, let's call him Noah, which means peace. Because he will give us rest from our labor. In other words, he knew that the kingdom of God had been taken away from Adam, and now the ground had been cursed, and labor was so hard, and he was looking for deliverance and for the seed of the woman, the Messiah, that would deliver. And that is our main need. We need the Lord, and we need salvation through the Lord, and we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible says all these things that you may worry about, that unsaved people worry about, they worry about clothes, they worry about food, they worry about wives, they worry about husbands, they worry about this, they worry about that. You take care of God's work. He will take care of you. I'm saying to you tonight, many of you, you're stressing far too much on the things of this world, and you're far too little thinking about the world to come and preparing for the world to come and laying hold of eternal life, like the Bible says. And you need to get your priorities straight tonight and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will take care of you. You can count on it. He never fails. And so I've been having these personal reminders, these spiritual jabs from the Lord as we turned over, Brother Bob, we turned over into a new year. And I was in the mall. Of course, I was in my glory when Michigan won. I was happy. And we were over at my son's house. Everybody was screaming. I had everybody screaming for that. And so I had my Michigan jacket on. It's like an official, like Jim Harbaugh would wear, with the M on it and amazing blue. And I was walking in the mall praying and walking and focusing on prayer, but walking with my Michigan. And I had an African-American guy, tall guy, sitting there. He goes, go blue. I go, go blue. And I walked by, and lady came by me the other way, go blue. I'm like, go blue. So why have one Pennsylvania, all these people? Well, maybe Big Ten, right? But anyway, so I was walking there, and the thought hit me, you should witness to that guy. And I said, well, I'm going to pray a little bit. I'll go into Penny's and go around and turn back. And when I went in, he was gone. And I thought, you know, the Apostle Paul said, I'm ready to give the gospel. Are you ready? That's what God hit me with. Are you ready? Get ready. Get ready so when God gives you an open door, you can go through it. And don't be ashamed of the gospel. I sure wasn't ashamed when he said, go blue. I was like, go blue. But then to take that and to get into Jesus Christ, well, maybe they'll think you're a religious fanatic, or maybe they'll think you're too whatever. Listen, It's your own pride. It's your own vanity. You're worried about yourself. Who cares about that? That's vainglory. It's Jesus Christ that people need. And you go by these people every day, and we think about missionaries. You're a missionary. You're on a mission. It's called the Great Commission. And you're sent out there. But the problem is, listen to me, we are not ready like Paul. We are ashamed, unlike Paul, who said, I'm not ashamed. And we forget our debt. We thank God for our salvation. You did it tonight, but there are people out there that don't have it, and we have it, and God's called us to rescue the perishing. I never forgot seeing an airplane crash, a jet passenger plane crashed in Washington, D.C., Reagan Airport. This was years ago, probably in the 80s. I was watching on TV. I've talked about this. And there was this bunch of water, and it was freezing. It was in January. And people were trying to get off that plane and get to shore. And they were going through that ice water. They were getting hypothermia. And I remember seeing this girl, and she was just... You could just see she was out of it. She couldn't make it. It was a teen girl. She was going to go down. And you could see it all on TV. It was live. And nobody was there. But then I saw an able-bodied man just standing there. But he didn't stand for long, man. He dove in that water. And he brought her out, and he saved her. And I'm just saying to you, he was able to do it. It was uncomfortable to do it. But he was able to do it. You know, I was in the mall today, and I was walking in the mall today, and I saw a guy there sitting there on one of those real easy chairs, like relaxing. And he was getting up in years, but he was a big guy with a Dallas Cowboy hat on and everything. And he was relaxing on that chair. And I went over next to him. Not that I needed it. I really did. But I said, oh, this feels good. I'm going to sit down and relax. And I sat down and relaxed next to him. And then I started talking to him. I said, yeah, what's going on? He had a house in West Side. He rents the top to a nurse and good tenant. And his wife has passed away. And he's living there alone. He said, it's kind of tough, you know, living there alone. Roman Catholic background. And talked to him about that. And then I said, hey, do you mind if I ask you to? He was a member of St. Anne's and had... gone to Catholic school as a kid. I said, you mind if I ask you two brief spiritual questions? He said, no, go ahead. And I asked him the two questions. And of course, he was like 95% Brother Joe or more of the people. He was trying to get there by works. And I told him the old story of the gospel, went through it with him. And he had to go because he had to meet his daughter, but his daughter had something. She wanted him to be home. And so I said, I'll walk with you. Now, I walked out of my way to be with him because I knew he had to go. And I walked with him to finish giving the gospel. And I went outside, and it was cold, and I walked all around the mall to get back to my car. But listen, what's my priority? What is the most important thing? You have divine appointments every day. But do you miss them, beloved? Are you not ready? Are you not where you should be? And so we have these personal reminders that God gives us not to miss out on giving the gospel. And I remember when I went to pastor school in 1986, I was filled with the Holy Spirit to be a soul winner. And I came back here and I read in the Psalms where it spoke about, the psalmist said, every day he would talk about God and his word. And I preached a message called, Don't Wait, Do It Today. And I had some lady call me up today to tell me that I can't have an appointment with my ear doctor to get the wax cleaned. I need to clean the wax out of it. I do it every year. And he's no longer in Clark Summit. He's going to be down there in Kingston. I said, Kingston? I don't want to drive. And I'm thinking about that, the inconvenience, and what am I going to do? And then I thought, wait a minute, this lady needs to hear the gospel. And I started testifying to her about the Lord. I wasn't able to finish because there was so much going on, but that's all right. Don't wait. Do it today. Don't wait. Do it now. Today is the day of salvation. Then what does it say, beloved? Now is the accepted time. What are you waiting for? Christmas? It's going to come. It's going to roll right back around, you know. But where are you going to be when it rolls back around? Where am I going to be when it rolls back around? Now's the time to get ready. So after I came home from the mall and missed that black fella that was there, I came home and I started calling through numbers that I had. But I had two brothers that I had knocked on doors on Dean Street, and they both prayed to receive Christ. The Morales brothers, prayed for them. And I followed up the call, and Freddie Morales picked it up, and I talked to him, and I asked him the two spiritual questions, and he got it right. The second one, he nailed it right on. And then I talked to him about coming to church. He said, definitely, I want to come out to church. So you pray for Freddie and his brother. They're in construction, and I was talking to him about construction, and they're really good at what they do, and we were talking about that, and so pray for them, and what I'm saying is that that you have opportunities. We're going out tomorrow, Thursday night, and people are, I believe, they're getting their priorities right, and they're coming out to Thursday night, all church soul winning. And they're coming out at 6 o'clock and giving God that time for an hour, hour and a half to go out soul winning. Tell people that are dying on the way to hell. Listen, if you were on the Titanic and it hit the iceberg, would your priorities change? You were on a luxury liner. You were eating. Have you ever been on a cruise? How many of you have been on a cruise? Oh, boy. Let me tell you, the food is great. And you're on a cruise. I remember Eric Slobodnik going on a cruise to Puerto Rico, senior trip. And Eric was not allowed to eat cereal at home. And he went down to the breakfast thing, and they have everything that you could imagine. You could eat any of this breakfast food. It's just incredible. And Eric had about 12 boxes of cereal lined up. And he proceeded to eat every one of them. I got a kick out of that, man. That was something else. I don't even know where I was in this sermon. Help me out, Brother Z. But the Titanic, yeah. You're on the, thank you. The luxury liner, the Titanic. I feel like Joe Biden. The Titanic, the luxury liner. When it hit that iceberg, man, it was going down. Everything changed. They were going to the dining halls. They were eating all the food. They were having all the fun. You know, these were some rich people in upper class there. But when that thing went down, man, they had one thing, and that's getting the life raft and get my loved ones in the life raft. And a guy that was actually a born-again Christian, he literally dove down in that frigid water and came up to the lifeboats and started giving the gospel to people. And I literally, in the 1980s, heard on television the testimony of some ladies, because they were on the lifeboat. They got saved through that guy because he was a soul winner. Amen. You won't regret it, but it's going to change your lifestyle to be a soul winner. And by the way, not only coming out on Thursday night, but you know what? It's not just getting people saved. Once they're saved, getting people baptized. Miss Diane called me up. How many did you lead the Lord last year? 213? 213 she led the Lord. But she had over 30 baptisms of those that she led the Lord. Now, if my sermon doesn't stir you up, that ought to stir you up. I'm just saying, where are your priorities? It's not how smart you are. It's not how good looking you are. It's not how strong you are. How much money you make. How many goods and services you have. Because you're leaving that all behind.
Right.
It doesn't matter in the long shake of it all. Like George Bailey said, in the vast configuration of things, you're just a little. It doesn't matter, all that stuff. Like spider webs. Now, I know we get a lot of joy out of these things, and I'm human, I understand that. But I'm just saying, where's your priority? Where's your priority tonight? And I am saying that we have these personal reminders that should stir us up and get us going. For 15 years, I had a commitment that I made to God. For about 15 years, I had a commitment that I made to God that every day I would give the gospel to somebody 7 days a week, 365 days a year, until somebody prayed to receive Christ. And I had, in different years, I would have 450 people pray to receive Christ in that year and have a number of baptisms. And I'm saying that it's a matter of your priorities. It's a matter of your values. And it's also a matter of the people that you're around. I hung around people that were soul winners. I hung around people that were spirit-filled soul winners. And I'm talking about preachers that are spirit-filled soul winners. And it stirred me up. And I want to encourage you by the scripture, by these personal reminders, that you need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. And then there are the example of saints in our church. And thank God for those saints that witnessed for Christ. You know, when Miss Diane told me about that, I got to thinking about Dr. Bob Gray, Sr., and his church for many years. He's retired now. His wife just passed. Pray for Dr. Bob Gray, Sr., a great man of God who hung around soul winners like John R. Rice and Jack Hiles. And he got it. And I remember going to his church for these soul winning conferences. He would have every year these soul winning conferences. I went out soul winning with Bob Gray. I met him and got to talk to him. And but his people, too. I really got down there. And one thing I noticed that he had at the soul winning clinic, it was called the soul winning clinic every year. And we'd stay there for like a week. We even had contests in this church. And the one that won the most souls would get an all-expense-paid trip to go down there to Texas and to spend the week there, eating with the big belt buckle people, you know, the steaks and everything. But I'm just saying to you, we put a priority in our church on soul winners and soul winning. We put a priority on it. And I remember going down there, and I remember Dr. Gray, one of the things he probably had more than I'm thinking about, but he had a club, and not a club that you hit people with, but it was a soul winners club. And to be in that club and to get the trophy every year, you had to win at least 100 to Christ that year. 100 people to Jesus Christ that year. And you know what? On this first Wednesday, I want to start that this year. I want to start it in 2024. I want to challenge you teenage boys, girls, young people, everybody. Why don't you say, I'm going to be in that club. I'm going to get that trophy at the end of the year, and I'm going to win that. So when watch night comes around, I have at least 100 people that I've led to Christ. And I'm just going to add one thing to it. You have to have one or more baptisms at least of that to get in that club. If there's no baptisms, you don't get in that club. You have to have at least one baptism to get in that club. Amen? And so I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to keep a record of every person that you lead to Christ. That man that I led to Christ, I have his name, Tom. I have his address in Westside. And I can visit him and follow him up. And by the way, we should have more people, if you come out on Thursday, at least come back on Saturday at 11:15 and spend an hour in follow-up, to follow up people that you've talked to. Because how can you set them up to get baptized like you should? But Dr. Bob Gray did that. The great soul winners did that. And I want to encourage some of you to do that and to challenge you to do that and keep a record and keep track of people that you lead to the Lord and then you help them get to church and lead them down the aisle to get baptized. You know, Michigan won their game against Alabama. It was a tremendous game to watch. And you could see that team has been well coached. You could see that coach. And I like to watch coaches because a pastor is a coach in so many ways. And I saw Jim Harbaugh, and they interviewed him with J.J. McCarthy and this tremendous defensive player, Junior Colston, who has two casts on his hands, and he plays with casts on his hands. And he'll still play, I'm sure. Junior Colston, tremendous guy. But anyway, they were interviewing him, and he said, "What does it mean to you to win the semifinal game of the national championship?" He said, "It's not about me. It's what it means to these players, what it means to their family, what it means to their parents." He said, "What it means to be on a championship team." And he didn't say this, but not just a middle-of-the-road team, but a championship team. There is a certain mentality that we need to have in leadership. And it's a mentality of, "Governor, this will not list when we don't have people saved and we don't have people baptized and we don't have people added to the church. This will not do. And it will not do for me, and it will not do for you. God has called us to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and we should be champion soul winners and have a church that champions the cause of the outcast and that goes out there and wins souls to Christ." My, oh my, when you do that, young people get it. I remember Jesse Kresge when he was in our Christian school. He was in an environment of a championship team of pastors and deacons and people. And as a young man, you know what? He made a commitment. He didn't have a car to drive. He only had a bicycle. But he made a commitment that "I'm going to witness and win one person every day to the Lord." And wherever I went, and I had the same commitment, wherever I went, they said, "I've talked to that kid in a bike. He already told me this." What about getting back to your first love? What about getting back to the first work? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everything you got will be added and more, because God wants to take care of those that will take care of his work. And I want to challenge you to do that this year and be part of a championship, soul-winning, generalship church that can inspire others that are around you, because they will see your priority and they will get a hold of it, beloved. And people will get saved. And you know what? You say, "What about my family? If I'm out there winning the loss, what about my family? What about my..." We all think like that. That's no new original thought with you. We all think like that. And God says, "You take care of my work, I'll take care of your family." That's right, I'll take care of them. And I'll work. And he will. And I want to just say that this is the first week of a brand new year. Now, right now, is the time for you to decide to put first things first. For some of you, that means doing like the leaders did in the early church in Acts 5:42. "And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." You know, our theme is "Go Through God's Open Door 2024. You know, we have Operation Knock on Doors. And we do that on Thursday night. Miss Diane coordinates that, does a faithful job with it. It's available to you. You can benefit and be blessed. For some of you, it will mean for the first time you get involved in Thursday night soul winning. Or maybe you, for others, you return to re-enroll in church soul winning. Some of you, it may mean that you're going to come out on Saturday for an hour or so, to follow it up, to bring people in, to get them baptized. I just challenge you to decide to put God first, to put the gospel first, the Great Commission first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says, all these things will be added unto you. The Lord will provide. Whatever you're worried about, Lord will provide. You put him first. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Simple message to